Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach. Today we have with us Jeff Buhner, who's the author of The Sultan's Seven Secrets. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mike.
You're welcome. So I always like when we have like a fictional storybook format that tells great secrets and tips and life lessons. So I'm excited to hear about your book. But before we dive into that, give us a little bit of your background and your story. And how did you get into this field and writing books on these topics?
Well, I've written one book on this topic, and I wouldn't have anything to share with anybody if it weren't for learning a secret that came to me, 30 years ago. And this shouldn't be a surprise, because anything you try to do, it's always hard until somebody shows you the trick. And there's almost always a trick to whatever you try to do that makes it easier, that makes something that you can understand and start succeeding at. And that's what happened to me. Someone showed me a trick,
which is one of the seven secrets. So let's talk a little bit about what are the seven secrets.
So the seven secrets come from a manuscript that a lady gave me 30 years ago. And this manuscript told the story of a real man in history named Sultan Musa of Mali. And this guy happens to be the wealthiest man to ever live. And I'm going to put that in context for you, because all of your listeners know names like Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk. Okay, take those two and combine their wealth, and they come close to Sultan Musa of Mali, who lived clear back in the 1300s. So this guy was wealthy.
Was it his wealth he inherited, or did he create it?
No, he started out dirt poor, the kind of poor that we can't even imagine. His father died when he was very young, and that plunged him and his mother into unbelievable poverty. The type of poverty where his mother could not guarantee him even one meal every day. He had to go out and scrounge for food, steal food just to survive, or he would have died. He was that poor.
Wow. So then talk a little bit about what are those seven secrets.
Well, he had a near-death experience at the age of 12. It's an unbelievable story. He fell in with an older thief who actually tried to murder him rather than share the wealth or the booty from a heist that he helped pull off. That's in my book. And during this near-death experience, he encountered what he called a man made of light and love, who taught him seven distinct principles. So those are the seven secrets, and they have to do with how the world works, how creation works, how you and I operate. And he survived that experience, came back, and used those seven principles to absolutely change his life. But these
We don't have time to go through all seven, but what's one of the top ones that you like to start off talking about?
Okay, so I want you to picture me at the age of 33. That's when I got this manuscript. I was a very unhappy young man. I didn't know how unhappy, but I was unhappy. I was a concrete contractor working from sunup to sundown. Hard physical labor, and just the kind of labor where you're surrounded by guys. I loved them all, but they're really hard guys. I remember getting calls and having to get guys out of jail, bail them out so that they could come to work. you know, just kind of rough and tumble guys. And I think every third word in our vocabulary was the F word. We could communicate with that word. It meant a lot to us. But I kind of knew that I wasn't living up to my potential, but I had no idea what my potential was or how to change my world. I just knew that I wasn't making enough money. I didn't have enough free time. I wasn't being a good father or a good husband because I was just working all the time. And I felt trapped. I mean, I felt like this is my life and I can't even afford to quit and try something else. I need that, you know, next job to get finished and paid for so I can pay the concrete bill and the steel bill for like two jobs back. That's illegal nowadays, you know, but back then I'd try to get a job done and get paid to pay, you know, concrete on a job way back there, or at least two back. And I was so trapped, so frustrated. And the thing that really smacked me down was I thought my wife really appreciated how hard I worked, that I was paying the bills. And she did, but she wasn't happy just being a single mom, you know, at home. And I never did anything with her, never helped out with the kids. Really, the only holidays I took off were the big ones like Christmas and Easter. Other holidays, I just worked straight through. Even 4th of July, I just worked. And one day she came and explained to me just how unfulfilled and unhappy she was. And that absolutely slew me. I mean, it was just like, I was so defeated. And that's when I ran into this lady who had, she and her husband, they had everything I wanted to have, but I could see no way to be like them. They were wealthy. They were elegant. They were super nice. Like, Mike, most people didn't talk to the concrete crew. When we'd show up to do work at their home, they didn't come out and work with us or talk with us. You know, they'd just kind of stay away until we were done and then we'd drive off. But this couple was different. They called us all by name. They talked to my guys, talked to me. And one day while talking to her, sadly, the conversation kind of devolved into me complaining. And I just started telling her how trapped I felt, how hard I was working, how even, you know, working more hours than anyone I knew, I wasn't making enough money. And in the middle of that conversation, she turned around and walked away. And it was one of those gut punches. I was so embarrassed that I had complained to her to the point where she walked away. And I thought, Jeff, you idiot, you know better than that. You don't complain. People don't want to hear your problems. But a few minutes later, she came back and handed me a manuscript. And it's that manuscript that changed my life. And one of the things you asked me earlier to share one of the secrets. So I'm going to. Like, I read the first page of that manuscript kind of by accident. I wasn't going to read it. I was so tired. You know, I was just going to go to bed and make up an excuse the next day of why I didn't read it and give it back to her. But I read the first page and I ended up staying up almost the rest of the night reading the whole manuscript and taking notes. So one of the first things in this manuscript was something called the language of the gods. Now, this is going to sound weird to you, and it sounded weird to me, but Musa said, when anyone speaks this language, the world obeys your commands. So this language has nothing to do with the words that come out of your mouth, like you're hearing from me right now, the way we communicate. And it also doesn't really have anything to do with the thoughts you think. It's much more primitive than that. And it has to do with the communication that is always taking place between your conscious mind and what Musa called the veiled mind. And the veiled mind is the mechanism that is running your life. It's controlling and steering your life. It's the mechanism that keeps you, determines your personality and keeps you congruent. And we're all familiar with the concept of a subconscious mind. So I may use those two terms interchangeably, the veiled mind and the subconscious mind. But that veiled mind is what's running the show. And here's something strange. Musa wrote a metaphor for his own life. He wrote a lot. But one of the things he wrote was a metaphor for his own life in the form of a fairy tale. And this fairy tale was Aladdin and the Magic Lamp. And Antoine Gallant was absolutely honest about the fact that he did not write this fairy tale. He just translated it from an ancient Arabic text and published it. Now, why would Musa have to embed the secrets of his success in a fairy tale, a metaphor? The answer is he was so benevolent. He wanted to share these secrets, but this is the 1300s. You didn't just come out one day and say, hey, I died yesterday, but then I came back to life. And by the way, I met God, who taught me things that our most learned scholars know nothing about. I mean, that was a quick way to get yourself in a lot of trouble, maybe even killed. So he wrote the metaphor, and then he taught everybody who would listen these principles. And he single-handedly raised the Mali kingdom out of poverty and out of war with teaching this. Now, this was before he became sultan. He became very wealthy. He taught everybody who would listen, but then he also, it's said of him that he started construction on a new school every Friday. And in these schools, he taught the teachers who taught the students these principles. So I want to take you to that story, Aladdin and the Magic Lamp, and let's talk about the three main elements of the story. You have Aladdin. And by the way, that wasn't his name initially. Apparently, in the manuscript, Musa called him Bin Allah, which I think means child of God. I haven't had anybody confirm that for me. But it was Antoine who changed the name to Aladdin, which, as far as I know, I've talked to people and they say, yeah, that doesn't really mean anything in Arabic. So Antoine published only the fairy tale. He didn't publish the second part, which was it explained the fairy tale. So the fairy tale, if we go back to that, you've got Aladdin. He's the conscious mind, that part of you that you think of as you. But then you have the all-powerful genie who can get you anything you want if you know how to summon it, how to command it. And that represents the veiled mind, your subconscious mind. Whatever the subconscious mind believes to be true about you, it's going to make true in your physical world. But then that brings up the question, okay, who's telling it what to believe about you? And the answer is,
and how do you communicate that to the veiled mind? Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. So you have been, and you are right now telling your subconscious mind who you are, what to believe about you, more specifically, what role you're playing. because that's all you're doing right now. You're playing a role that you're dedicated to. Like any good actor, you get into character and then you stay there and you're dedicated to this role. And any situation that presents itself, you greet that situation the way that character would. Now, you already know that if you were, put in an entirely different situation, you'd start playing a different role. If you woke up tomorrow and someone said, Mike, you're the king of England, and we need you to start making all these decisions, you know, tell us what to do, you would do your best to be a good king. And over time, and it wouldn't take very much time, a couple weeks of people treating you like you're the king, you would fall into that role and you would think of yourself as the king of England or wherever. And that's how you'd go through the rest of your life, just doing your best, playing that role. Now think of your veiled mind. If you're the actor, your veiled mind is the stage manager, and it's going to set the stage of your life in a way that is congruent with the role you're telling it you're playing. That brings us to the magic lamp. What does that represent? The magic lamp represents a piece of knowledge, understanding of the language, and it's the only language that your subconscious mind that's running the show hears, responds to, and obeys. And I don't use that word lightly, because your subconscious mind obeys this language all the time, every time. It never disobeys this language. When you command it in this language, that's what it does. It goes and sets the stage of your life congruent with what you're commanding it in this language. So think of me at 33. I'm a concrete contractor. I don't like my life. I'm unhappy with just about everything in it. And I read this. There it is right in front of me. Speak this language and the world obeys your commands. And I'm going to tell your listeners what that language is right now. It's the language of feelings. Now think about this for a minute. Your feelings are always true. They may not be helpful. They may not be even healthy, but they're always true. The way you're feeling, if someone can read how you're feeling, that's how it is. That's who you are. Now you can lie your head off with the words that come out of your mouth. You can tell people things that, well, no, this is how I actually feel, or this is what I'm thinking, that it may not be true. But if someone can read your feelings, that's the end of the discussion. You don't have to tell
them. Kind of like anything. A lie detector test.
It's even better than that. I mean, it's just like, there you are for everyone to read if that's the language you can see.
And doesn't that also tie into the concept when you hear about life coaches that talk about affirmations, and, you know, you can read these words and they might be great, but then until you infuse emotion into them, you lose a little bit in that. So feelings, emotion, you know, kind of like it brings things to life in that respect.
Absolutely. Like affirmations, the reason they don't work is because your subconscious mind is running the show. It's feeding you your feelings. It's feeding you your thoughts. And then you're speaking back to it in feelings. And it goes around and around and around, keeping your life congruent with what it was yesterday, what it was the day before. Pretty much, you know, you are you. To change you, you have to change the commands you're sending to your subconscious mind. And you do that in the language of feelings.
And probably before you do that, you must need to articulate where you want to be.
Exactly.
Right? Because, you know, begin with the end in mind, you know, like Stephen Covey used to teach us, like, if you don't have that end result transformation picture, personally, professionally, spiritually, financially, emotionally, spiritually, whatever, where are you headed? So I think that's an aspect of it. And then you could start backfilling into how do I need to feel to be the person to achieve that.
Yeah. I'm going to give you a taste of what happened to me when I started speaking this language in a minute, but let's go back to affirmations and why it doesn't work to sit there and say, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich, yeah. I'm rich. Well, your subconscious mind isn't fooled by that. It knows that you're just saying that because you're poor and you wish you were rich. And so nothing changes. But here's how you do change it. You can't look to reality to change how you feel about any aspect of your life. Because as soon as you look at reality, that tells you how you feel, and you feel, adjacent to your reality, and your subconscious mind hears those feelings and then keeps your reality congruent. It's just around and around you go forever. So you can't look to reality. Where do you look? Okay, here comes your superpower. This is how you've learned everything in life. It's you're still learning using this superpower. And this is your ability to observe and then imitate. I'm going to say it a little differently. Your superpower is your ability to imagine and pretend. So you see somebody else doing something that you admire, then you can imagine yourself being in that situation. And you can also then pretend. And this is how you get the feeling of what would it be like to have that guy's situation? What would it be like to have the perfect sweetheart in your life? What would it feel like to have $1 million in the bank? What would it feel like to have a company that you own that generates $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 a month? What would it feel like? Now, your subconscious mind loves this game, and it will play this game all day long. When you ask, what would it feel like to be absolutely ripped, healthy, energetic, and strong? Your subconscious mind will tell you, it will feed you the feelings and answer that question. And you'll be able to feel, as you pretend to be ripped and strong and healthy, you'll be able to feel a portion of the feelings that you would actually feel if you were ripped and strong in reality. Okay, but here's the weird part. As it's feeding you the feelings of this imaginary scenario that you're conjuring up of being ripped and strong right now, you're pretending to be, it's also hearing those feelings and believing them. That's what it does. That's its job. And then it goes to work to keep your life congruent with what it believes based on the feelings you're flooding over it and washing over it. So when you build a beautiful dream world of scenarios that match the life you want, and you spend a lot of time focusing on those, you're generating feelings that match that life, and your subconscious mind believes them. Now, you know, those aren't real. Those are just imaginary scenarios. You're lost in a daydream. It's not real, right? Okay, but what about the feelings that are generated when you're lost in that beautiful dream world? Are those real?
Should be, yeah, as long as they're fine-tuned and polished and precise. Yeah.
Well, whatever, like, if you were to imagine right now, like looking down and imagining that you've got the physique exactly, that matches the physique you want. And you can imagine that to the point where you can see it in your mind's eye and feel what it would be like to have that. You are now sending feelings, which are the commands that your subconscious mind obeys and believes. You're sending those feelings to your inner genie. And look, let's go back to this. The genie only says two things in the metaphor. One is a question. What do you want? The other is a statement. Your wish is my command. Your subconscious mind is always asking, what do you want? It's asking right now. And you're always answering in the language of feelings. And then it says, okay, your wish is my command. These feelings, I believe, and I will now go keep your life congruent with them. So people can understand, you know, you're very habitual in nature. You're going to wake up tomorrow thinking and feeling pretty much what you woke up today thinking and feeling, and yesterday thinking and feeling. There's only about 8 aspects of your life, and you feel a certain way about each one of them. And here's what you do habitually before you understand how things work. Let's say you're in a relationship. Are you married, Mike?
Yes.
Okay, so you'll relate to this. You think about your relationship with your wife, and a movie is going to start running in your head, and it's the same damn movie that always runs in your head. You're going to think about either the things that make you really happy with her or things that don't make you very happy and you wish she'd quit doing or start doing or whoever, you know, whatever. And you're going to realize as you think about your relationship, oh my gosh, that is the same soundtrack, the same movie that I run all the time. And that makes me feel a certain way about my relationship. And then here's the part that, you know, you just maybe grasp today. Holy crap, my relationship is exactly congruent with that soundtrack. But then you're going to say, yeah, but that's because that's reality and I'm seeing reality. And then I feel, okay, but what if you reverse that in your mind and you just accept for fun? What if it's the other way around? What if because I feel this way, I act and say certain things and do certain things that then make her act and do things a certain way, and then it comes around the other way, and now I'm calling that reality?
Let's say you'll see it when you believe it, or you'll believe it when you see it. Which comes first, the chicken or the egg?
Yes,
it's a neat, you know, self-fulfilling prophecy.
Do you remember that crazy art? I don't know how old you are. You don't have any gray hair. I do. Mine's all white now. I don't even have any gray hair. There was some crazy art in the 80s that if you looked at it, it looked like one thing. But if you stared at it to the point where your eyes would kind of go crossed, all of a sudden you'd see this 3D new image that would pop out. This is a lot like that. Once you see it, you really can't go back. Every time you look at that art, you're going to let your eyes go crossed, and there it is again.
Yep. Well, I tell you, Jeff, just from that one secret and technique that you just described, I can only imagine what the rest are. So if someone is interested in learning more and also picking up a copy of the book, what's the best way they can do that?
I wrote the book to get it out into the hands of everybody. And if you go to Sultan's 7 Secrets, that's the number 7, sultan7secrets.com, you can download a version of the video book. That's just me reading the book or speaking the book. And all 7 secrets are outlined in that book. And then go from there. You know, just listen, you could be speaking the language of the gods tonight. Go download the book, read the first couple chapters, start speaking the language of the gods. And when you do, you're going to see some weird coincidences pop up, and they'll keep popping up. Things that weren't happening yesterday, weren't happening a month ago, they'll start happening now, and you'll recognize, holy crap, those things match the feelings of these imaginary scenarios that Jeff taught me to get lost in.
Yeah.
And when that happens, that's the end. I mean, that's, you're going to enter a new hobby, a new lifestyle, a new way of living that is a lot more fun, and you can seize control of your current level of happiness and your future starting right now. And it's, and then you'll feel like I feel. You'll just want to share it with everybody.
Nate. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for coming on today. It's been a real pleasure talking with you and learning about this book that you wrote.
Thank you, Mike. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about it.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.